She spoke to him before the world fell apart.
Hey, are you still asleep?
Thomas shifted in his bed, felt a darkness around him like air turned solid, pressing in. At first he panicked. His eyes snapped open as he imagined himself back in the box, that horrible cube of cold metal that had delivered him to the glade and the maze. But there was a faint light, and lumps of dim shadow gradually emerged throughout the huge room. Bunk beds, dressers, the soft breaths and gurgly snores of boys deep in slumber. Relief filled him. He was safe now, rescued and delivered to this dormitory. No more worries. No more grievers. No more death.
Tom?
A voice in his head. A girl's. Not audible, not visible. But he heard it all the same, though never could he have explained to anyone how it worked. Exhaling a deep breath, he relaxed into his pillow, his razor-edged nerves settling down from that fleeting moment of terror. He spoke back, forming the words with his thoughts.
Teresa? What time is it?
No idea, she replied. But I can't sleep. I probably dozed for an hour or so, maybe more. I was hoping you were awake to keep me company.
Thomas tried not to smile. Even though she wouldn't be able to see it, it would be embarrassing all the same. Didn't give me much choice in the matter, did you? Kinda hard to sleep when someone's talking directly into your skull.
Wah-wah, go back to bed then.
No, I'm good. He stared at the bottom of the bunk above him, featureless and darkly fuzzy in the shadow, where Minho was currently breathing like a guy with ungodly amounts of phlegm lodged in his throat.
What have you been thinking about? What do you think?
Somehow she projected a jab of cynicism into the words.
I keep seeing grievers, their disgusting skin and blubber bodies, all those metal arms and spikes. It was way too close for comfort, Tom. How are we going to get something like that out of our heads?
Thomas knew what he thought. Those images would never leave. The gladers would be haunted by the horrible things that had happened in the maze for the rest of their lives. He figured that most, if not all of them, would have major psychological problems. Maybe even go completely nutso. And above it all, he had one image burned into his memories as strongly as a branded mark from a searing hot iron. His friend, Chuck, stabbed in the chest, bleeding, dying as Thomas held him. Thomas knew he would never forget that. But what he said to Teresa was,
"It'll go away. Just takes a little time, that's all."
"You're so full of it," she said.
"I know."
How ridiculous was it that he loved hearing her say something like that to him? That her sarcasm meant things were going to be okay.
"You're an idiot," he told himself, then hoped she didn't hear that thought.
"I hate that they separated me from you guys," she said. Thomas understood why they had, though. She was the only girl, and the rest of the gladers were teenage boys, a bunch of shanks they didn't trust yet.
"Guess they were protecting you."
"Yeah, I guess."
Melancholy seeped into his brain with her words, stuck to them like syrup.
"But it sucks being alone after everything we went through."
"Where'd they take you, anyway?"
She sounded so sad that he almost wanted to get up and look for her, but he knew better.
"Just on the other side of that big common room where we ate last night. It's a small room with a few bunks. I'm pretty sure they locked the door when they left."
"See? Told you they wanted to protect you."
Then he quickly added, "Not that you need protecting. I'd put my money on you against at least half these shanks."
"Only half?"
"Okay, three quarters, including me,"